Grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks so much for your grace, for your greeting to us as we meet you face to face in your holy word and your holy sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper. Father, we've made it to Advent, the start of the new church year, and we are watching and waiting eagerly for Christmas Day, when we remember and celebrate Jesus crashing through to earth, being born as a baby, a tender little baby who would grow and show himself to be the incarnation of the Godhead. But Father, we're also waiting for his second coming, and you've said that it won't be a minor event, but it will be with acclaim, trumpets blowing, great glory and power, and Jesus coming on the clouds, because, Lord, you command even the elements, let alone our hearts. Father, open our hearts, our ears, our minds to receive your word. Secure it there so that we might be comforted by the peace that you bring, and sustain us as always to life everlasting. In Jesus' holy precious name we pray. Amen. Our entry into the season of Advent begins with these ominous sounding words, "in those days." Advent isn't just the 4-week liturgical season before Christmas on the church calendar. It's a reality of life. It happens in all sorts of ways and at various stages in life. In those days, the sun will be dark and the moon will not give its light. The stars will be falling from heaven and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Jesus is talking to his disciples. If you go back to the start of chapter 13, the disciples have been admiring the temple and the large stones. They're impressed. It gives them confidence and brings comfort. And Jesus, however, is telling them that change is coming. The temple of their life will be destroyed. If you've ever experienced significant change in your life, whether pleasant or dreadful, you know about in those days. You know about Advent. You know what it's like to enter the darkness of change. You see, we are insufferably creatures of habit. We're most comfortable with set routines, and we don't like change, because all change, whether welcome or unwanted, brings some kind of loss. It may be the loss of a relationship, a loved one, a job, the loss of familiar places and things, freedoms and safety. When these disruptions occur, the world we knew previously no longer exists. Indeed, the events of this year, 2020, will be spoken about as in those days, and the future will present a new and different normal. The advents of our lives set before us challenges and struggles. How will we find our way forward when the beacons that usually light our path no longer shine? What do we do when it feels as though our world is falling apart? Where do we go when it seems that darkness is our only companion and God is nowhere to be seen? The dark times of life make us uneasy. The temptation is to do something to fix it, to ease the pain, to escape the uncertainty, and get back to what used to be. But the God of Advent doesn't allow that. We can never go back to the way it was before the lights went out. God doesn't undo our life. God redeems our life. Advent is more about the hope and coming of what will be than it is about our losses. That hope and coming is the Son of Man, Jesus, the Christ. The presence of Christ is the ultimate answer to every prayer, to every light extinguishing loss, to every advent of our life. Every time we tell our Advent stories, we echo the prophet Isaiah, "Oh, that you would tear open the heavens and come down. Come, Lord Jesus, come." And God does. God is faithful. God strengthens us to the end. In the midst of what we might consider loss, we lack nothing as we await the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ from 1 Corinthians chapter 1. The Advent times of life are times of expectant waiting, like the expectant waiting of a pregnant woman. In Advent, we live in between what was and what will be. We're neither here nor there. We are betwixt and between. They are times of transition, and it's hard, sometimes even impossible, to see the way forward. Like the pregnant woman, neither can we turn back. We find ourselves in the wilderness between Christ's death, when the skies darken, the temple curtain is torn, the earth shakes, and the rocks split, and the coming of the Son of Man in clouds with great power and glory. Still, if we allow them to, the dark places of life can draw us deeper into the divine mystery. Just curiously, as I say that, how many of you feel as though you have made more attention to prayer and scripture and all sorts of things this year, given the events that we've had? Would that be a fair thing to say, suggest? I know a number of people who have. I know that I had a wide variety of reactions to the sermon last Sunday, and I wrote it deliberately that way because it made you go back and search the scriptures. So I say again, if we allow them to, the dark places of life, and we've certainly had them this year, can draw us deeper into the divine mystery. They remind us that we don't know everything. We don't see all possibilities. We can neither predict nor control anything. We're not in charge. Advent challenges us to let go of our habits, to question our typical ways of seeing, to let go of the tiller. Advent invites us to trust that God will come to us in the darkness of life. Advent invites us to receive the God who comes to us in the valley of the shadow of death. Why is there a shadow there? Because you always need a light to be shining to create a shadow. It's where God meets us, in the dark places and dark times of life. At some point, our world falls apart, life changes, or the lights go out. We think we have reached our end. When these things happen, Jesus tells us to remember the fig tree. Read the signs correctly. When its branch becomes tender and it puts forth leaves, you know summer is near. So also, when the darkness overtakes your life, trust that the Son of Man is near. Christ's presence, our healing, our salvation are always taking place in the dark and messy parts of life. We will never be abandoned to the darkness. Be alert, Jesus cautions. He commands us to keep awake. Darkness isn't our enemy. Falling asleep is. We fall asleep whenever fear controls our life, when hope gives way to despair, when we equate busyness with goodness, when we replace thanksgiving with entitlement, when we choose what is comfortable rather than life-giving. Whenever we think our life is over, that darkness is our final reality, that we have been abandoned, or that loss and darkness are our only reality, then we have fallen asleep. Too often we allow the darkness to deceive us into believing there's nothing worth watching or waiting for. So we close our eyes. We fall asleep and we become part of the darkness. We refuse to see Jesus, who's always coming to us. Our problem is that when darkness threatens to engulf us, we don't give our eyes time to adjust. We don't trust our night vision, the light of Christ that is within us, a light that can never be extinguished. The advents of our lives ask us to trust Jesus more than the darkness. It means we must sit, listen, wait, watch. That's not what most of the world believes or what our society rewards. We must keep showing up and be present in the darkness of life, even though it's hard to do. The alternative is to run away from our darkness, to run away from where God meets us. In the darkness of Advent, we must slow down. Listen more than we speak. ponder questions rather than answers. We must wait expectantly but without specific expectations. Waiting in darkness is an act of faithfulness and surrender to the coming one. We wait and watch by staying awake, by praying, by struggling with the call of God to follow the way of Jesus, the way of the cross and death. Whether we live to see the second coming of Christ or die and meet Christ face to face is rather immaterial. The Son of Man will come in the clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. Either way, the glorious festival of life, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, is coming for you. Our waiting becomes our prayer, and it will be answered by God's presence. Tell your Advent stories, stories of change, loss, darkness, then sit down and practice Advent. Be still. Be quiet. Listen. Watch. Wait. Why? As Isaiah said to us in verse 4 of 64, because God works for those who wait for him. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.